Is it 96.3 FM? It's the long edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. Stay with us for special guest Anita, as well as numerous other folks talking about the crisis around medical marijuana, the drug war, and of course the war against the poor downtown. Stay with us.
Days in the county jail, hold my calls, hold my mail, serving soup, that was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. I have a shop on the street in town where hungry folks walk up and down. Some have no homes, some sick from want. So I went, got some food from a restaurant. I took it to a central spot to feed the weary, something hot. The police came, took me away. That was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. They said I needed a permit to serve free food. It must be fit. So here I am, awaiting trial, while the hungry have to eat from the garbage pile. 30 days in the county jail. Hold my calls, hold my mail, serving soup. That was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. I faced the judge and I made my plea. He looked away when he sentenced me. He said, we won't put you in that hole if you promise not to feed another living soul. I told that judge I could not say that crazy law I would obey, nor pay no fine. Post no bail. Now I'm feeding folks inside the county jail. 30 days in the county jail. Hold my calls, hold my mail, serving soup. That was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. Now Ollie North, he lied under oath, lied to the judge and the Congress both. He was running drugs for the Contra War, but they locked me up because I fed the poor. Our leader George, you know he might be right when he sees 1,000 points of light with a kindler, gentler hearts like mine. But now there's just 999. 30 days in the county jail. Hold my calls, hold my mail, serving soup. That was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. 30 days in the county.
stand. Hold my cause, hold my mail. Serving soup, that was my crime, that was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. Well, serving time.
And that, of course, was Mark Levy from an album 14 years old. It's 999 Points of Light, a song about Sandra Loringer, the woman who served free food at the town clock, along with a lot of other folks. She was convicted and spent, 3 weeks in the Santa Cruz County Jail for serving food to poor homeless people. And when she was asked by the judge, we'll put you on probation, you don't have to go to jail, if you will simply agree not to stop giving away sandwiches and food. And she said, Your Honor, I'm afraid I am beyond rehabilitation. And that became the slogan for a T-shirt, which Kate Wells and Richard Quigley then sold outside the courthouse where she was convicted, here in our own county courthouse, in the court of Judge Robert Artichoke Hart Attic, as he's called, one of our local jurists, loosely put. Again, we face a similar crisis coming up in Santa Cruz around free food. There's news from the Downtown Association and our old favorite up at the university and now on the city council, the recycled council member extraordinaire, Michael Riot Act Rotkin, who is going to be helping to rein in the out-of-control food servers who are just embarrassing to death the merchants downtown who simply don't like the Sunday food servings by the Potter's Hand in front of the Cooper House and the Food Not Bombs meals and the Huff Brownies Against Bigotry giveaways that we do at the Pacific Trading Company usually every week or two to dramatize the need to restore civil rights to poor people downtown. But that's really not for the moment what I want to talk about. I want to introduce my guest this morning. My guest this morning is the vivacious Anita, who has been a longtime activist fighting to decriminalize marijuana and particularly working in the medical marijuana field here in Santa Cruz. Good morning, Anita.
Good morning, Robert.
And belly up to that mic. I'll pretend you're giving it a smooch almost. It's kind of one of
there
those.
There we are.
There you go.
Okay. It is a privilege
and then give
to be
me
back.
A smooch. Oh, well, that's another story.
Forget that, Robert.
Forget that. You can't win them all on Sunday morning. So, for those who are interested, you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 FM. And Anita here is, how long have you been in the medical marijuana field, Anita?
Since 1996, actually. I came to Santa Cruz in 86 and spent about 11 years up on campus. And when I got to move downtown, it happened to be around the block from the cannabis club that was open on Maple Street. I had had a diagnosis myself. Went to my doctor and got involved politically that way. Actually didn't know much about the movement. I know there's been a movement in this county going on since the early 80s or even longer with a bunch of women that I know in town. But I've actually only been involved myself since 96.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually 96, of course, was the year the state passed Proposition 215. Santa Cruz passed, I guess, the county-wide legalization proposition back in 1992, 93, thereabouts. And the Cannabis Club on Maple Street, that you were living around the corner from, opened. It was, I guess, Kate Wells and Ed Fry's office was there, too, the attorney. And Free Radio, actually, was in the basement there for a while.
Correct. Actually, I believe that was opened by Scott Imler, who was sent down here by Dennis Perrone, who opened that club and then left it in the hands of Fred and several other people. And he moved down to L.A., where he opened the club in West Hollywood, and I believe he was raided by the feds.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
He's kind of in the same boat as...
Yeah, I heard he had cancer, too, and he was...
He actually does have lung cancer.
...in trouble, and Scott, of course, is the son of Jane Imler, who I worked with as a... She's a famous homeless activist who was, along with Sandra Loringer, the woman I mentioned, who's the theme of that song, 999 Points of Light, 30 Days in the County Jail, served free food and established food programs for poor and homeless people in Santa Cruz city and county area.
Isn't it interesting, Robert, that it's the poorest and the hungriest that Always working the hardest.
Yeah, they often they open their
longevity
houses.
Longevity is the key, though. Longevity.
Or their tents or whatever.
We want to live, so we want to be healthy. We don't want to eat that crappy free food they give to poor people. And if it comes to feeding ourselves or the poor, have to take care of the poor. You know, it's interesting. I remember when I was raising my kids and getting food from the government, I was embarrassed and ashamed to even feed it to my kids. I was very clearly aware that normal, so to speak, people didn't want to eat that food, so they gave it to us, which would only weaken me and my family.
Have some cheese there.
Yeah, have some orange, bright orange cheese and green bologna, and study hard so you can do well and change the world.
Well, you can be happy now, because I think they're cutting off even that food, although I'm not sure. I actually have not been following the food
services.
Everything
is getting cut. Everything.
But the police department budget is going up. $1.7 million planned for the first council meeting in September. Chief Belcher's budget will not be cut. It will be raised.
Not familiar with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's unfortunately the truth. But yeah, there is a general cutback, and you came to town and you saw the, I guess there had been a, that's kind of ironic, there was a cannabis club open in those days. It was kind of going strong, and then there was a cloud of controversy with that club later on in terms of financial finagling and so forth and problems. But my concern has always been that there be at least some kind of access, and the community of tolerance in Santa Cruz not only allowed that, but kind of forced it on the city authorities. I mean, the deputies continue to harass people and continue to harass people for growing their own marijuana and using it. And indeed, one of the things we're going to talk about today is the ID card proposal. And Andrea Tischler is going to be calling in, I believe, around 11:30. Maybe she'll call in earlier. Andrea, if you're listening, feel free to call in. And by the way, the phone lines are open to anyone who wants to call in. And that number, in case you wish to join us, is 427-3772. 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. If you're outside the area and you're listening to us on the internet at www.freakradio.org, which is another place you can listen to free radio, you can dial 831-427-3772. Another thing you can do is you can reach me by email. I'm going to boot up the email here in just a moment. And if you want to send an email to rnorse@hotmail.com, because the phone lines are busy, or you prefer you got a longer statement, or possibly you like to write rather than speak, you can do that. rnorse@hotmail.com. I'll be checking those messages. Nia here perhaps will remind me in case I forget.
I'll watch the screen.
All righty.
I hope and people do call in. And
you can see the slide blinking. That's people calling in. If I'm ignoring it, just punch me a couple times. Or
nonviolence, rather.
Nonviolence, yes. Well, nonviolence, yes, indeed. This being Sunday, or perhaps for those of us who are Christian and those of us who aren't, it's still Sunday. What can
How
you do?
How about those of us who are blessed to wake up in a home?
In a home. Those who are in a home.
Wake
home-ish.
Up in a home.
Not homely, but home.
Knowing we're going to have breakfast.
Yeah, actually, for those who want breakfast and don't have it this morning, you should go down to the Loudoun Nelson Center. I believe Dennis Adams of the Potter's Hand, though not yet restoring his service on Pacific Avenue. Call Emily Riley and ask what kind of pressures are being put on people to stop serving downtown. But he is doing food serving at the Loudoun Nelson Center and does quite a breakfast, I hear. I've never been able to get to it because I'm always here talking to you on Sunday mornings, but it's available. It's at 11 o'clock. It doesn't cost anything. I don't think you get too much in the way of Jesus talk if you don't like Jesus talk. So, you know, feel free to go in and you know, eat the vittles and take the compassion and the goodwill and leave the propaganda behind, or listen to the propaganda. Make up your own mind what you want to do with it.
Hey, Jesus was a good Jew. They should listen.
Well, you can guess the kind of the religious orientation of the woman in the studio here, who's passing out her subversive propaganda even as we speak over the airwaves. The cannabis club that opened and closed on Maple Street was, I guess, your first introduction to medical marijuana in Santa Cruz?
Correct. I was actually astounded and so happy to be alive. At a time like this, being a middle-aged woman, just to see that I was in a county that was so enlightened. Well, first of all, I was up at the university, so I was under the facade that it was a very enlightened community. It really wasn't until I moved off the campus and into a neighborhood and got back in touch with my original roots, which actually come out of the South Bronx, that allowed me to relate and be a little bit more empathetic to the concerns and issues that were actually going on downtown, medical marijuana just being one of them. And poverty in general, living in such a rich county and having a good frame of reference the way I do. I think people just have so much and don't appreciate and value and waste and buy and consume and are not as feeling and compassionate as I thought they were when I initially got into the downtown area.
And when did you actually yourself begin working to supply medical marijuana to those patients with doctor's recommendations and medical conditions?
I started my service, actually October will be 7 years that I started my in-home delivery and support service. It's a very small service. I don't have a club. They will not allow or tolerate a club to be opened in the county. And the only way I'm able to provide some kind of support and services to provide an in-home delivery and support service. But then I'm always under the risk of being arrested by the feds for conspiracy or transporting. And I'd really like to talk about not having guidelines in this county and what we can actually do to help all the people who are not in WAM, because I know we'll be mentioning about...
WAM, for those who don't know, for those who've been hiding out for the last few years, is...
Valerie and Mike Corral's wonderful organization, their co-op. They were raided up in Davenport not that long ago.
Women and Men's Medical...
Alliance for Medical Marijuana. Yeah. Just beautiful, wonderful group, the mother of us all, I believe. And,
but very small.
They can only do so much. The need is great. And what I started to do is I was introduced to this through the club on Maple Street, and then through a series of tragedies in my family, kind of sort of had a nervous breakdown, and thought to myself, well, you know, I think that I can do this, and I think I can do this better. And because I had had my diagnosis, had earned several degrees from the university, said, I'm going to do this.
Diagnosis of?
I actually had an indiscretionary year in 1969, and I shot heroin and was diagnosed, only for about a year, totally forgot about it, came to California originally in 74, but was diagnosed with hepatitis C in 91 when I was still a graduate student. Did the alpha interferon, but my disease has progressed. I have necrosis, fibrosis, and advanced cirrhosis.
You still look very nice.
Hey, and I've had two ruptured discs in my back.
Oh,
life's a bitch. It's hard. I'm a big believer in therapeutic use of medicinal marijuana, or cannabis, as
now,
we really
should
be
calling.
Now,
were you using marijuana before
yes.
it was legal?
Yes.
For how long? When did you first start using marijuana?
I started using marijuana probably when I was about 17, and it was not my first drug. You know, you always hear it's a gateway drug.
You used heroin first. Heroin was the gateway
to
marijuana.
My first drug actually was sniffing glue.
Sniffing
when you grow
glue?
Up in a city...
The first person I've met sniffed glue.
When you see, people, you need a good frame of reference. People need to get out and about, you know. In my neighborhood, we sniffed glue. That's what we did. We'd go and get our number 4 bag, and at that time you could buy airplane glue over the counter for like 15 cents. And I did that. That was my first introduction to drugs. And then after that, in the late 50s, early 60s, my mother, who eventually died at the hands of doctors, was given all kinds of prescription drugs. And I was taking her Black Beauties and Dexedrine, Dexoxin, Secanol, Tuinol. So I was introduced
to... You've written this up and you're sorted by autobiography.
I actually am working on a book called My Mother Never Learned to Drive a Car.
Really?
I am.
And so you first sampled marijuana, I guess, about
17, 16 or 17.
When you were in the
60s, yeah.
In the 60s?
Yeah, only because I was at, you know, rock concerts and it would be passed around, but it wasn't
you
the
mixed
drug.
It with LSD? And
I had a little bit of LSD, not too much. A little bit,
so
not too much.
At the moment, you're not psychotic.
No, not at all, actually.
Actually, LSD.
Very bright.
Are you psychedelic? You probably are.
I could be.
Yes, well, you probably are. In fact, hopefully you are.
I'm a little psychic. I have some gypsy background, so...
Well, we could do a little dancing in the studio later if you
like. I could do that.
If we can get past the sciatica.
Can you believe this? My leg is howling at me today. So who is your audience? Somebody call in, send us an email.
Yeah, now that's always a problem out there, folks. You see, here we have a guest who's about to leave the studio unless you give a call to let us know that she's really talking to someone other than me, and it's not just a plot for me to, should we say,
because
get her alone.
Yeah,
in the
studio. Who's out there? Who's listening out there?
Yeah, so if you want to give a call, the phone number to call in is 427-3772, 427-FRSC. If you want to call off air and you want to leave a message for me, or you have to send a message for Anita you can't really deal with right now, then you can do that at 427-45 427-4523 is actually the radio number. We'll give you these numbers in a moment, but we actually have a caller here. So, hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. It's Roxanne.
Hi, Roxanne.
Hi. I had...
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're interrupting a movie here. I can't...
He's kidding. Thank you, Roxanne.
Yeah, no, actually, Roxanne called me last night, and I cut her off because I was watching a movie. But go ahead, Roxanne.
Well, I have two questions. One is about medical marijuana because, well, actually, I feel like they're related. Mm-hmm. Why is it that our city officials will stop people from feeding the hungry, but they'll come out and defy the federal government on behalf of medical marijuana? And I know we're supposed to be really, really happy that they're willing to do that, but what is the impetus for them to be so liberal in one way and so heinous on the other?
Uh-huh.
Those are my questions.
Okay, that sounds like one question, not two.
I guess.
Yeah, do you want to take it on the air or do you want to take it off?
No, it's okay. I'll take it off air.
You can take it on air if you want.
Okay, whatever.
Well, that's a good thing because actually I'd like to say you have a very intelligent audience. Thank you for calling.
Can you hear, Roxanne? Can you hear Anita?
Yes.
Okay,
good.
Go ahead.
I think that's a great question. I myself was astounded, although impressed, that city government and county government joined that lawsuit with WHAM against the feds. You are making an excellent point, and boy, this is a good one, Robert. What the heck is the answer to that? How do you answer this one?
Well, of course, I've answered it numerous ways, actually one way in my show, and you probably know my answer, Roxanne. You want to hear Anita's answer.
Well, I'd have to think about it because I don't want to speak.
Well, my answer is that the city under, for example, Christopher Crone, and, you know, it definitely doesn't mind fighting national issues and even international issues, if it's civil rights in Nicaragua or even the rights of Iraqi people, though we're still waiting for their U.S. out of Iraq resolution. Thank you very much. They don't like to deal with local issues the same way because it puts them in a position where they actually have to take a stand that might result in their being dumped or that might result in getting disfavor from Democratic Party politicians that they are close to.
But and, there were many people who were really upset that they did that. I mean, they really did go against a lot of people who felt that they were condoning drugs. I mean, they didn't have carte blanche like, hey, you go do this, guys.
Right.
So
well, that's not
still,
like
I still feel like, what was the perk in that? I would love to know.
Well, remember that 75% of this county voted in favor of medical marijuana. I don't think there is a huge bunch of people against medical marijuana. I mean, there may be people against the, you know, the actual... you know, a broader decriminalization of drugs, against legalization of heroin, things of that sort. I think.
Okay, so the ones that were against it were actually just loud.
Remind me your name. Tell me your name again.
My name is
Robert.
Well,
your intelligent, lovely caller. Your name
caller,
again?
Caller. We're talking to Roxanne.
Roxanne. Hello, Roxanne. I've been thinking about it.
Roxanne.
I've been thinking about it for a moment or two, and I think perhaps it's because one is hidden, and one is not, and one is a touchy feely, fuzzy. Let's help the sick and dying, as if marijuana has ever saved anybody's life. Let's not fool anybody here. It's very therapeutic, it's very healing, but it's certainly not a cure. I think when you're feeding the homeless and the hungry on the street, it's unattractive, it doesn't look good, it pushes people's buttons, it makes them uncomfortable. And as a woman who grew up in poverty, who knows poverty very well, my heart, I feel like I'm stuck in the middle because I live in a low-income housing. I'm working as hard as I can to try to pay my bills, to help my children, to help the people I care about, to make my community a better place. I want to care about all the people in my community, not just the people that look good, not just the people that have good bodies or nice bank accounts or good cars. I want to care about everybody, and I want my county government to care about everybody. So I'm not going to begrudge them for joining that fight to help WHAM, ultimately, may have been.
No, and that, I hesitate to bring it up, but I just feel like there's such a difference.
There is. Your point is just wonderful, just a great thing to think about.
As I pointed out, too, Roxanne, as you know, there's a difference between giving medical marijuana to 13 people in a Christopher Crone's, everybody who wants marijuana, you know, can go up to San Francisco and find it, except for the 250
50 who are served by WHAM. There are, Kate Wells estimates there are 2,500 to 3,000 people in the county who need medical marijuana and aren't getting it.
What's so interesting, they can go to Hayward, they can go to Oakland, they can go practically anywhere north of Santa Cruz and get it legitimately, sanctioned by the city council, board of supervisors, police actually look out for them, and they're operating finely and freely, and coffee shops actually are just blowing up in Oaksterdam.
Oakland's Amsterdam.
And I commend them, and I commend Jeff Jones and Dale Geringer and Rob Raich, the attorney, who was just recently up in Sacramento. I mean, there are people working very hard trying to get in. I mean, you have to get on that team and get in if you want to make the change. That's what's so difficult. You have to kind of become one of them and look like one of them and talk like one of them. You have to be as subversive to do it.
We're going
to
send you in, Anita, in an appropriate dress.
You will not get me in the dress, but my foot, I have one foot in each camp, and I don't want to be split down the middle because I like my genitals.
I won't comment on that at this time, but I will say that, the problem, of course, has been also that WHAM, the favorite organization in Santa Cruz, seems to have the inside track in setting up, for example, zoning laws in Santa Cruz. I've tried to get Valerie Correll on the air to talk about this. I've tried to get her to respond to it in writing. She doesn't want to do that, and it puts me in a position where I have to be critical of her, much as I favor her position in the lawsuit, much as I favor, you know, the work she and others have done for medical marijuana. The monopoly position that she seems to exercise in this situation, it's just, you know, it's inexcusable considering the fact it's like a person who has a position of power but doesn't use it to help to benefit the majority of people, but simply uses it for her own small coterie of people. Now, she would probably tell you, I do it because I run a club which is...
it's a co-op.
Not a club,
it's
a co-op. Thank you. You're right. It's a co-op. I run a co-op, not a club. And, you know, the patients do the various cultivating and the work, and it's not... Looks like we lost the caller, but Roxanne, I'll continue on the air because I think it's an important issue. The reason she will think, I think she's acting not just in the best interest of her clients and the people she's serving, but also the broader community, because she wants to see more co-ops like hers forming. At least I hope she
does.
Well,
who has property like that? I live in low-income, tiny one-bedroom apartment. I don't have a mountain where I can grow. I'm dependent on vendors, mm-hmm. as I prefer to call them, and I have to travel great distances to provide the service that I provide to the small clientele that I have. What I want to see is this county government take a stand, come up with guidelines. I did speak to Bob Lee, the district attorney, about other counties and their guidelines, and he had told me he was taking a wait-and-see approach, and there was no consistency in those guidelines, and when he saw some kind of state guideline, perhaps then they would get
other
on.
Other counties have guidelines.
Yes,
Sonoma County have a guideline.
Oh, yeah, there are, I believe, 17 counties in California that have guidelines
have
right now.
Have you brought him any of that?
I brought him several of the, yes, of the
what
packets. They're available. They're publicly available.
What objection did he have?
They're not consistent. Like
they don't all agree with each other?
Well, one county will say you can possess 97 plants, and another county will say you can have 43 plants. Or they're just not consistent.
Well,
he was saying we need to have a
from
state,
county to county
and we do need a state guideline because Prop 215 is a state law.
But until we get a state guideline, we need a county guideline.
We
right?
need a county guideline, and this is what I'd like to talk about. All the people who are covered by Prop 215, and Prop 215 tells them if you are ill, if you are suffering, and you find relief from cannabis, you can use it and you can grow it. It doesn't provide a way for you to access it. WHAM is limited in how many people they can serve. I am limited in the people that I serve. We need guidelines so people can feel safe and comfortable to grow at home and not be bothered by the sheriff. I don't believe covering yourself... I want to talk about the ID program. Let me just change this subject for a minute. I saw the Good Times this past week, and it says county offers identification cards for medical marijuana patients, and it's a very pro-identification card article, and I was a little troubled by it because I'm not a believer in going and registering if you have a doctor's letter. Prop 215 says get a doctor's letter. Doesn't even have to be a prescription. My letter is on my doctor's letterhead. I just don't see the point in going to register with the government when they're not going to tell you where you can go find a doctor to help you. they're not going to send you someplace to help you get good, clean medicine. So why would you go? And who has $35? And I don't know very many people who actually have personal checks, although it does say they'll accept a personal check or a money order. And the bulk of my clientele wait for their checks on the first of the month, whether it's a disability check, a Social Security check, an unemployment check. I'm not dealing with wealthy people. People who are ill and people who are down and are not feeling well aren't getting up and going down to the county and paying $35 to get their picture taken so they can laminate a card for them and walk out the door feeling unfulfilled. The article is bothersome to me. I don't know how many of you have...
This is the good times from...
Just this past Thursday, and it actually says that they've given out three cards already. They've distributed three cards already, and one of those cards, it says one card carrying member of the medical marijuana ID program who is tussled with federal law enforcement is Valerie Corral. And Corral is a strong supporter of the ID program and says it's a step forward in the legitimization of medical marijuana. Well, I kind of don't know how to respond to that, because if that really were true and I found some comfort in that statement, I think that there would be a legitimate place where people could go and access it. It wouldn't be a club. It wouldn't be a party house. It wouldn't be the farce they showed us that was going on up in San Francisco when Dennis Perone was operating his club up there. It wouldn't be a club, period. It would be a very legitimate organization where people could come and feel safe, access their medicine. We need changes in the county. We need doctors to lighten up. We need doctors to be able to feel free to write a letter if they believe their patient will find relief.
And indeed, doctors are under the gun, as we know in the case of Todd Mickaria. I'm going to be reading a story about
him. Oh, he is close to being shot in the face.
Yeah, he's
under the gun.
They're coming after him
hard.
Again, I think it has to do a lot with federal pressures from a very hostile national administration, lack of sympathy at the state level, and again, this failure at the local level to realize the kind of activism that created the tolerant zone and the clubs that we had initially, as well as the co-op, the WAM co-op, as well as the statements that Sheriff Tracy and others have made regarding how tolerant they will be about medical marijuana, even as they're running around arresting people for possessing marijuana.
Well, that's supposed to be one of the benefits of carrying this card around. It also says in the article that the benefit of having the card is the police can rest assured that this is a genuine documentation for you, whereas if you just show them your letter or your prescription, it could be a forgery, which would just tie up the police.
If you have your papers in order, then we will let you go. This is sort of the analysis. I suppose they said the same thing to Germans in 1934, and many Germans were reassured that, we just want to be legal people.
And we want to help you. See, this is what's bothering me. The article sounds as if the county's trying to help. In my point of view, and again, I do kind of claim to be an expert in the field for 7 years, trying to provide and being a user for about 30.
You don't think an ID card is going to help?
The ID card would be wonderful if when you picked up your card, they could say to you, now here is a list of places you may go, or here is an address where you may go and access some clean medicine, or here is a list of doctors where you may... Well, first of all, you can't get your ID card without a doctor's letter. So back to square one. Why go get the ID card?
It costs $100 or more bucks to get such a letter, usually, not just the 30 that you have to register later.
Well, there's a physician's referral service that's also advertised on the back of the Metro. There was a few weeks back, I believe, the July 30th edition of the Metro, there was a cover story on this Marimed physician's referral service that's up on Capitola Road on the east side. They say they refer you, they have doctors up and down the coast. It says, we have doctors lined up from Santa Barbara to San Francisco, and since October 2002, we've signed up almost 1,600 new patients, says, who is he here? This is William Malfris. Yes, I know William, and he runs Marimed. He calls himself the director of Marimed. So I guess you can go there. The only problem I have with that is it's $350 if you go there and they
get you your doctor's letter. And I don't find that kind or compassionate at all. And I just wonder how many times his door is opening and closing. I want kindness and compassion. That's what the Compassionate Use Act was all about. I liked your statement, the failure at the local level. It's just an atrocity at the state level, and it's frightening at the federal level.
You know, and it's at the local level that we have to fight it, because it's here that we have the power. If we can get enough people together, the Valerie Corrals, the Anitas, the Theodora Careys, the Kate Wells, the Andrea Tischlers, all these folks who have fought so successfully, at least in terms of getting... I'm not sure what it was called in 1992 or 93, the local proposition, the legalization at the county level, the legalization at the state level of medical marijuana, and fought to also keep clubs open here and co-ops. So I know there's been disputes and splits and people go different ways and they would like to see things done differently.
At the local level, they're really waiting to see what's going to happen at the state level. And there is some legislation going to be on the ballot in November related to the issue. I don't know enough about it to talk about
Next
November.
You're talking about November 2004.
Yes, I am, 2004.
Yeah. I know that San Francisco passed Proposition S, which has it,
but this is about a statewide...
Right, but I'm looking at the local levels, because I think we don't need to wait for the state to act for us to do something here to make sure that people who are sick get access to medical marijuana. I mean, it seems ridiculous to sit around waiting for a bunch of hack legislators who are gutless to begin with to roll into place finally and get it together to, you know, pass appropriate legislation. I think we need at a local level to make sure that those who are sick get treated, that those who are in jail inappropriately get freed, and that the police force return to its legitimate functions of looking for real crime and not busting people for victimless drug war crimes, which in fact set the scene for the war on terrorism. All this crap about the massive repression of civil liberties that we see going into place under the Patriot Act 1 and the proposed Patriot Act 2, Homeland Security, and just the various administrative decisions in the Bush regime, were foreshadowed very strongly by the assault on the drug war. And I don't just mean the assault on medical marijuana, and I don't just mean the assault on marijuana. I'm talking about the use of drugs by people who need to, or choose to use them. And of course,
well, look, just look at the.
You're showing me.
Robert's pausing because I brought some information and education. I'm trying to educate him a little bit about.
She's trying to educate me on the air, which is always a risky business.
It's a little timely, but it's a little bit about the federal assault.
I'm talking to Anita here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. You're tuned to 96.3 FM, and we do have an open phone line in case you want to call in 427-3772. 427-3772. 3772 is our number, so do so if you want to join us. Anything particular you want me to note here, Anita?
Brief synopsis down the road of the federal assault.
Yeah, I guess you're suggesting
assault.
I'm even, human
rights.
There's
human
a federal
rights.
Assault on medical marijuana, is assault on human rights,
on
the
compassion.
War on drugs, families are torn apart, racial disparities in arrest and incarceration prevail. I mean, I'm even reluctant to read this because it's so obvious. What I think we don't know is obvious is that there is a local assault on medical marijuana in the sense that, A, the sheriff is refusing, after repeated requests from medical marijuana providers, WHAM accepted, to call for, I guess she recently has called for what quantities, what you were looking for guidelines for the amount of marijuana that a person can cultivate or possess if they're a patient. And we're getting, the sheriff's deputies exercising their own medical skill.
Well, it's an arbitrary kind of world out there.
They run out and diagnose you and decide how much marijuana you're entitled to. And also the situation where there is no... In spite of, I've heard Theodora's disputed me on this, Theodora Carey, so she should feel free to call in and give her thoughts. But I don't think there really is room for medical marijuana clubs in this city. They have shown, when a club tried to open twice, once on Seabright and then once around the corner, that the regulations they drew up were actually tightened to eliminate that prospect.
Right. No, they do not want a club functioning in the county of Santa Cruz, although they have said they would accept one in the unincorporated area. They do not want one here. I don't think they want the traffic. I don't think they want the national attention. I think they're being very secure and tight-lipped because we have a university here that is a big business. It's an industry. It brings in a lot of money. And they don't want one here, period.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, have you actually had communications from council members that have indicated to you...
I have spoken before the city council a couple of years back just to let them know who I was and what I was doing in their city. They have never told me that they wouldn't allow a club, but I have gone to talk to Steve Belcher, the chief of police, and Mark Tracy, the sheriff, and originally went to Art Dana, and then Ron Ruiz, and Kate Canlis, and now we have Bob Lee. So here, one me and four DAs.
You know, yeah, it seems to me that... It's interesting you should say that, and this, of course, was the point made by ex-Mayor Crone in a series of articles that... If I can get this computer working.
Robert's trying to log on. This is really a county issue, Robert. I mean, it's a city, and we can talk about the city council, but it's ultimately up to the Board of Supervisors.
Well, at the county level it is, of course. We're broadcasting right now, note, in the city, and so...
True, correct.
That is, you know, I mean, I like to cover both areas, and the city council, you know, is substantially more liberal than the... Aha, we got a phone call. Than the county at the Board of Supervisors level. So one would think they would act more promptly on this, but instead they have cut out the possibility of clubs. Hi, you're on the air with Free Radio.
Hi, Robert and Anita. This is Andrea.
Oh, hey, Andrea.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Good. Glad you've been listening to us.
Well, yes. Becky just called, and she said that Anita and somebody else was on, and I thought maybe I'd just chime in a little bit here.
Okay.
Lovely.
Sure. I know that you wrote a great letter in yesterday's paper. I guess it finally got published. You wrote it sometime ago.
Yeah, I have it right here.
Yes. Well, I sent it in a few days ago. It got published on a timely basis. It was in the editorial section of Saturday's paper.
Uh-huh.
And it was about the new county medical marijuana ID program.
And you, Andrea, you run a bed, bud, and breakfast Compassion Flower Inn operation, right?
That's correct. We're friendly to medical marijuana patients. We've been activists for a long time here. We helped get Measure A passed back in 1992, and of course the Compassionate Use Act in 1996.
Right. You perhaps I should read this letter, although maybe, I mean, you're on the air. Would you rather talk about the issue, or would you rather I read your letter?
Whatever you'd like to do. The letter really does describe it.
Andrea liked your letter. What I'm going to do is I'll read your letter, and then you can maybe make supplementary comments.
Okay, surely.
Okay, this again is, you can catch this in on the next to last page, the first section of yesterday's Sentinel, and you can catch that in the library if you haven't got any money to buy one of their 50-cent Sentinels. It's headed Pot Cards Voluntary. That's the Sentinel's headline. Having been quoted in Brian Seale's August 21st article about the new county medical marijuana ID program, I was astonished by the fact that the program was voluntary wasn't mentioned once. This omission of a major aspect of the program gives medical marijuana patients and caregivers the mistaken impression that the county ID will now be their only legal proof of eligibility for medical marijuana. I'm sure the County Board of Supervisors believes they've passed a supportive piece of legislation protecting medical marijuana patient rights. However, it only benefits law enforcement in being able to conveniently identify patients and caregivers while leaving the privacy rights of patients who register vulnerable to sanction or possible prosecution. They claim the program is anonymous, but how do we absolutely know that? Public Health, the agency issuing the IDs, has close connections with the federal government. Are there people within the department who have loyalties tied more to the feds and to obeying the laws of the state? This has happened in the state before, where local law enforcement have turned over medical marijuana patients to the feds. Legitimately, medical marijuana advocates have reason for concern. The fact is, Proposition 215 makes no requirements for medical marijuana patients and caregivers to register for an ID to be legal to possess or grow medical marijuana.
Excellent point.
A doctor's recommendation is all that's needed to show law enforcement as proof of eligibility for medical marijuana. This was reiterated by the board when the program was approved earlier this year, but I see this point already becoming lost. Notwithstanding, I believe the ID program is redundant, invasive of patient privacy rights, costly to government, and simply unnecessary. What is urgently needed, however, is for the board to follow 17 other counties in adopting reasonable guidelines that will give patients and caregivers real peace of mind about the amounts they can possess and grow. The board has been silent on passing guidelines while approving each year $250,000 for marijuana enforcement and eradication that entraps medical marijuana patients, too. The board will go to bat for WHAM, and good that they do, but where are the rights and protections for the remaining 90%, I'd say
actually more like 95% or more, of the medical marijuana patients in this county. The only thing they offer us is to sign up for a non-compulsory ID, pay the fee, surrender our privacy rights, and call it a boon for medical marijuana patients. Doublespeak reigns. Medical marijuana patients and caregivers, think twice about this one. Andrea Tischler, Santa Cruz. This is from the Sentinel yesterday. Good letter, Andrea.
Well, thank you, Robert. Robert, is there music in the background there? I can barely hear you because I hear this rock music that's...
That's interesting. I hear some rock music, too. I'm wondering...
What is this
I think
over
what
here?
The problem here is we may have a computer feed going on. See if this does something here.
It's something coming out of here, right here?
I think we got rid of it.
Oh, that's good. That's great. Because it was on the radio also, and it was coming through, and you could hear the rock in the background.
Well, we were doing a little kind of partying here, but we didn't want to get too heavily.
Maybe I should come over to the...
And bring some medication with you, please. So on the line, we have Andrea Tischler of the Compassion Flower Inn in the studio. We have Anita, who's a medical marijuana provider, client, and activist. This issue of guidelines is one that I think is, you know, you both are raising the issue. I know I talked to you, Andrea, about throwing some kind of a benefit where we would get some big names from San Francisco to come down and talk about guidelines. Maybe some of those 17 counties could weigh in as to what their guidelines are to get Sheriff Tracy and the medical establishment here off the dime, or the Board of Supervisors off the dime. Anita's shaking her head. Anita, why are you shaking your head?
Is there any hope of the Board of Supervisors ever addressing this?
Andrea, I was there the morning with you when this ID program was being discussed, and I know I spoke against it, and I thought I made a couple of good points, and I heard you speak, and I thought you made several good points, and there again, it did get passed. And turns up a full-page story in the Good Times, and I'm kind of annoyed by it. Not one of my clients will